Hey, good morning. I'm excited to be here today. So, how great is God's love? I mean, really, God loves us, but how great is that love to us? You know, leading up to Easter, we've been talking about God's love. Does God really love me? We got small groups and the kids are talking about it. And you can still pick up one of those daily devotional guides. God's love is super important. It is life-changing. Yet, how great is God's love? Well, what's his love like? You know, because there are different kinds of loves, right? It's way different if I say to my wife, honey, I'm loving it. You know, I love you so much. I love you as much as this great Big Mac. Mmm, good, delicious. That's way different than if I say, baby, I love you more than Romeo loved Juliet, more than Shrek loved Fiona, more than, you know, Wesley loved Buttercup. It's true love. See the difference? Maybe it's more like, it's different. How does God love us, right? What kind of love does he have for us? How great is his love? Actually, for us humans, that's not the easiest question to answer. I mean, being loved by an invisible, all-powerful being, that's unique. The Bible actually says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is for those who fear him. Have you ever stopped to think about, like, the size of the universe? The known universe is 93 billion light years. In miles, that's 5.5 times 10 to the 23rd. Any astrophysicists, Neil deGrasse Tyson fans? The universe is mind-bogglingly huge. It is gigantic. Or have you ever stopped maybe to think about the whole idea of forever? Eternity. I know I can't, like, wrap my mind even around that concept. So at the start, let me say, God shows us his love. We can know, we can experience his love, but not completely. I mean, his love transcends human understanding, right? It goes beyond our limitations, our imaginations. He loves us so, so much. And not only is God's love, like, mind-bogglingly huge, our ability, us humans, our ability to see, to know, to remember his love is broken. Yeah, my wife, she can say one really mean thing to me, and it's way easier for me to remember that than 100 nice things. That's messed up. My perception is messed up, right? It is warped by my selfishness. Yours is too. Yeah, we can see love, but it's harder to see it than we think. It's funny, actually, my wife and I, we got some family things going on, and we're going to spend some time apart. And as I've started to think about this time that we're going to be separated, I'm starting to see, like, I get lots of benefits from my wife's love. She really loves me, and she does so much for me, and I'm starting to miss her already, and yeah, that's sweet. But also see how broken I am, right? Why do we have to be separated for me to see the benefits of her love, to see her love? And you know, we do this exact same thing with God. We absolutely do, right? It's hard for us to know, to remember the benefits of God's love. It's why King David, now here's a guy that knew God and knew his love, why he said to himself, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. If you read the Bible, it talks a lot about not forgetting, about remembering God and his love. Yeah, if you just look at Isaiah 51 or 2 Peter 1, it talks about if we are afraid, if we're anxious in this life, or if we lack self-discipline or control, if we're selfish or we're not kind, really, if we lack anything, we've forgotten. We've forgotten God. It is super important to remember God and the benefits of his love. You know, really, if you're a follower of Jesus, you know, what are the benefits that we're getting out of this deal? And that sounds kind of crass, right? But if we see it, then we see how great his love is. Yeah, by looking at the benefits of God's love today, we're going to see how great his love is. That's where we're going today. But first, remember, if I just like listed off a bunch of benefits of God's love, we could do that. I think many of us, that wouldn't change anything in our lives. We'd still have kind of abstract relationship with God's love. Some of us, I know I have, we'd go, okay, you know, in like a really stoic way, not because we felt God's love, we'd be go, okay, God loves me, so no matter what, how I feel, I'm gonna, I don't know, do whatever, go to church or go to small group, read our Bible, whatever it is, we'd do that. See, the thing is, in the Bible, for God, remembering isn't just having the facts, the knowledge in your noggin. It's more than that. When God said in Isaiah 43, I will remember your sin no more, God wasn't saying he was going to give himself selective amnesia. He's not going to like bonk himself on his head. No, I don't remember your sin. No, he's God. He always knows everything. What he's saying is I'm going to take control of how I see your sin. I'm going to see it differently. I'm going to let how I see it control my behavior. He's not going to judge us for it. See, in the Bible, remembering is controlling your consciousness. When we remember a fact, what we do is we let it become so important to us that it controls, it governs our behavior. It makes you wonder, are the benefits of God's love governing our behavior? Yeah, today we're absolutely going to look at, we're going to remember the benefits of God's love. And that's going to totally, it's absolutely going to show us how great God's love is. It's gigantic. Yet we don't want to stop there because we want to experience his love. We want to live in his love. And for that, this needs to be more than just an intellectual exercise. We need to go beyond and let that love go deep into the control and control our lives, control how we act, our behavior. Today, what we're after an experience of God's love. And for that, we're going to need the Holy Spirit's help. So let's ask for that. Actually, why don't you grab a Bible? We're going to look at Psalm 103, page 412 of the Bibles we have here. I'm going to pray and let's ask for God's help to do this today. So God, I welcome you here even more. Holy Spirit, come. We need your presence. And I do ask that you reveal your love to us today in a really powerful way. You let the benefits of your love go deep into our hearts. They become so important to us that they will change how we live, how we act. God, I pray that this love will become the most important thing in our lives. In your powerful name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, again, we're in Psalm 103. David is reminding himself, he is listing out benefits of God's love. So it starts with, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And I love the cool Hebrew parallelism there. You know, praising the Lord and remembering his benefits, they're the same thing. I mean, we remember the benefits for ourselves, but we also do it to praise God. Now, the story of the Bible is the story of God's rescue mission. And right after that little benefits dash there, he's going to list out some really personal benefits that we get from God's rescue mission. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases. There's two right at the start. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, next, David is going to give us a like example of how this works in history. He's going to use the example of the Exodus rescue mission, when God saved his people, the Jews, out of slavery in Egypt. And that's actually a preview of Jesus' rescue mission, when Jesus saves us out of slavery and sin. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses. Again, Exodus rescue mission. His deeds to the people of Israel, the Jews. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Yeah, he made us. Okay, this is good stuff. Let's break it down, right? Let's remember the benefits of God's love so we can see it's how great it is and we can experience that greatness in our lives. So first off, we're going to go back to verse 3. The first benefit we're going to look at is remember that God forgives all our sins. Just like it said in verse 12, for as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions, our sins from us. See, for God, he loves us. His love is so great that the Father sent his one and only Son on a rescue mission. Jesus, maybe you know him, only Son of God, right? He humbles himself. He becomes human. He leads this perfect life. And then he dies on the cross. He suffers and dies for us, to rescue us, to literally go to hell in our place to pay the price for all the bad things we've done, and also to give us his righteousness, his perfection, so we can be with him and enjoy him and his life-changing love. See, forgiveness of all our sins, it's a huge part of that rescue mission. When we surrender to Jesus, when we accept his gift, then the final judgment of our sins happens right there on the cross for us. It's like the gavel goes down, boom, and the verdict comes in, guilty. Jesus is guilty of all our sins. And for us, boom, innocent. And not just innocent, we get his righteousness, his perfection. That is how God views us. As far as the east is from the west, he has removed his transgressions, our transgressions from us. That's how God views our sins. But for us, we don't always view it that way. We don't always feel that, do we? We don't always enjoy this benefit of God's love. We don't always live like our sins are forgiven. Many of us, we have a hard time forgiving ourselves. We confess the same sins over and over again, hoping that eventually we'll get free from the guilt. It's like we act like God's forgiveness is too good to be true. Like somehow we need to punish ourselves. Do you know what I'm talking about? Many of us are haunted by the mistakes we've made, the things we've done, right? Maybe it's something we did when we were young or drunk or both, young and drunk. You know, it's the way we betrayed someone we love. We hurt them and caused them pain. Or it's the way we let everybody else down. What are the sins that you remember? You know, there are people that actually are good at forgetting their sins. Children. I know my kids, I can tell them over and over again not to do something. It just doesn't seem to get through to them. Kidding, kind of. But actually, seriously, kids are way better at taking forgiveness at face value. I mean, I can even remember when I was a kid. I did something. Don't want to tell you what it was. It was embarrassing. But I felt horrible about it. It was just like, the weight of it just was so on me afterwards. And when I came clean, when I told my parents, whoosh, I was free of it. Do you remember being a kid? Do you remember forgiveness like that? Well, kids are humble. Kids trust. If an adult says, you're forgiven, well, I'm forgiven. Jesus told us to be like children. Yeah. Rather than remembering our sins, letting them be at the center and control us, can we allow the Holy Spirit to push that out and in its place put Jesus' forgiveness for us, the freedom of that forgiveness? Because the truth is, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's removed our transgressions for us. That's the measure of the greatness of God's love. Can we press in and experience that in our lives? Okay, next. Another benefit of God's love. Again, in verse 3, it talks about how we need to remember that God heals all our diseases. And yeah, even now, God heals our sickness. But there's more here. Actually, in the Bible, often sin and disease are linked together. Disease is used as a metaphor for trouble, for hurt, for hardship in our lives. And we know that, right? In this life, we all have trouble, right? As Jesus famously said this. He said, "In this world, you will have trouble." Yeah. I mean, things go wrong. We get hurt. You know, sin has consequences. Tragedies happen. We all know this. We can see this in our world. Yet we tend to forget that Jesus had a little more to say. "In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world." What does that look like? Let me give you an example. In 2006, a man named Charles Roberts, he walked in to a little Amish schoolhouse. He walked in there and he brought with him a bunch of guns and he murdered 5 little Amish girls and he wounded 5 others. Now, Charles Roberts, he was a 32-year-old dairy truck driver, and he and his wife, Amy, they had 3 little children of their own. They went to church. But Roberts, he didn't know the love of God. No, 8 years earlier, his first child, a daughter, she died within 20 minutes of her birth. And the grief of that consumed Roberts. It consumed him. It destroyed his humanity. He decided that someone had to pay for his daughter's death. And because he couldn't make God pay directly, he was going after the Amish. Yeah, when he walked into that little schoolhouse in Pennsylvania, he yelled out, "You're going to pay for my daughter's death." And while he was murdering those innocent little girls, his wife was in a prayer meeting. And they were actually praying for kids in the local schools. In this life, there will be trouble. Oh yeah, there's trouble in this world. But that's not the end of what Jesus said. And that massacre wasn't the end of the story. Within hours, the Amish were at Amy Roberts' home. And they brought forgiveness. They brought food for her children. They brought condolences for Charles's suicide. In fact, over 40 Amish went to Roberts' funeral, including parents of the little girls that had been killed. And the funeral director, who got to watch them console the Roberts family, he said this: "I was lucky enough to be at the cemetery when the Amish families of the children who'd been killed came to greet Amy Roberts and offered their forgiveness. And that is something I will never forget, not ever. I knew that I was witnessing a miracle." God's great love was at that funeral, because in the face of immense trouble, the Amish remembered that Jesus has overcome this world. Jesus heals. Now, each and every one of us, we have trouble in our lives. I mean, some of us, we've lost loved ones. Maybe we've lost innocence in our lives. We've lost our jobs, our careers, our reputations, whatever it is. We felt pain. Maybe we are grieving. We are broken. We are down. And let me tell you, it's not good enough just to know that God heals. No, will we take hold of his hand, and in the midst of our suffering, will we go beyond the pain to goodness? You know, I love my children, and it is hard for me to imagine doing what the Amish did. But I know how that miracle happened. The Amish love their children too. But they also know, they remembered the love of God. They were able to live that love. Can we do that? Can we go beyond our pain? That's when we will experience that the measure of that healing, that's the greatness of God's love. Okay, next, let's go to verse 4, another benefit of God's love. Remember that God, he redeems us from the pit. This is the pit of death, of spiritual death. I love the way that the Apostle Paul, here's a guy that knew God's love, how he describes this. He says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." See, we earn death. We do. Because of our rebellion, because of our sin, the wage is death. And like it or not, that is completely fair. Because we want to be the boss, we try to forget God. We try to forget him. I mean, the fact that there is a creator, that there is a king that rules over the universe, including over us, that is an inconvenient fact when we want to be our own king, when we want to do what we want. So we try to forget God. Well, what's the natural consequence, the penalty for forgetting someone who loves you so much? Well, just think about it between humans, right? My wife loves me, but let's say I walk out on her. I ignore her. I try to forget her completely. It's sad, but it would be fair if she eventually forgets about me, moves on. See, that's the price that we pay for our sin. Eternal judgment, spiritual death, that's God forgetting about us, ignoring us. And because he's the source of all life, all goodness, that's hell, literally. It hurts to be ignored, but it is unbearable to be ignored by God. Again, that's the wage that we earn. That is the debt that we owe. That's our debt. Okay, redemption. Redemption is when someone else pays your debt for you. Redemption, I mean, when folks would pay the price of a slave and set that slave free, that was called redemption. That's what Jesus does for us on the cross, right? He pays the price for us. He bled, he suffered to pay the price for our sin. When Jesus on the cross says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forgotten me? Jesus is forgotten. He is ignored by God in our place so we don't have to go to hell, so that we can experience his gift of eternal life. Oh, this is one of the huge benefits of God's love. You see the greatness of God's love in the fact that Jesus was willing to go to hell in our place to pay the price for us. Now, many of us know, we remember that he did this for us, this redemption, right? But are we actually letting him pay the price, right? Are we actually letting him pay it? Do we live like the price is paid? Or are we trying to earn it ourselves? It's like we want to split the bill with God, right? Even though Jesus has paid it in full. See, if we want to experience more of God's love, more and more of it, we got to stop trying to earn it ourselves. Many of us, we do good things, right? We're kind, we follow the rules, we go to church and we give and we serve, and these are all good things, but they're not good enough to earn God's love. You know, what if we kept doing the good things, but we stopped doing them to earn some kind of benefit, to get something from God? What if we kept doing the good things, but we just did them to love him back, to say thank you, to show him how much we want to be like him? And I'll tell you, this is hard because we have to take a hard look at ourselves. Why do we actually do what we do? Holy Spirit, come and show us the truth about ourselves. Let us give up on ourselves trying to earn it. Let us let Jesus pay it for us so we can experience more and more of his love. More of his love. Okay, next. Verse 4, another big benefit of Jesus' love. Remember that God, he crowns us with love and compassion. Remember what it said in verse 12. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Now, this is good. The father has compassion on his children. The crowning here that it's talking about adoption. Adoption. Yeah, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle John, this is a guy who really knew the love of Jesus. He describes it this way. Yet to all who receive him, that's Jesus, to those who believe in Jesus' name, he gave the right to become children of God. And God, he's the king of the universe. When you are adopted by God, you become a prince, a princess, right? You get a crown. Now, what's the deal with this being a crown of love, of compassion? Well, God wants to make clear what kind of adoption this is, because you know adoptions vary. There's all kinds of adoptions. I heard a couple stories from a guy that used to work at an adoption agency. He actually talked about once he was helping with the adoption for an accountant and his wife. And, this couple had been trying to have a baby for like a decade. They couldn't, so they decided to adopt. And they go through the whole adoption process, and then this guy brought the little baby home to them. And he puts it in their arms, and the husband just matter-of-factly looks down at the baby and emotionless, says, "Oh, he looks like he's smiling." That's it. No joy, no excitement. After all that time, nothing. Contrast that with a pastor and his wife that he helped with their adoption. And pastors are way different than accountants. We are. I mean, we're kind of like, we're kind of like Einstein and Mother Teresa and George Clooney combined. You know, we're smart and kind and good looking. Yeah, I wish. I mean, for most normal people, pastors, we're like one step below lawyers and used car salesmen. That pastor. Those are pastors. Anyway, this pastor couple, here's how it worked with them. You know, the guy is going to bring the baby home from the hospital, and it took a long time, hours and hours. And that couple, they're at home like pacing back and forth and back and forth. They're looking out the window. Eventually, they go out to the corner, and they're staring down the street. When is that baby coming? And when he brings the baby, they are overwhelmed. They break into, they're just like weeping with joy, with tears. They are overjoyed. That's the picture of when God adopts us, right? I mean, God's not in heaven going, "Oh, look, someone surrendered their life to me. Isn't that wonderful, angels? Isn't that great?" No, he's overjoyed. There's tears. It talks about celebration in heaven when one of us accepts his gift. Now, in our lives, do we feel that benefit? Do we feel that joy when we are part of his kingdom? It really boils down to this question. Who are you? Seriously, who are you? What is your core identity? Through his love, God wants us to make us children of God, right? He wants you to be a love child, a love prince or princess. Is that the identity that drives our behavior, that governs who we are? Because, you know, if I'm a child of the king, well, I have nothing to fear, right? I should have no anxiety in my life. If I'm a child of love, well, then love will come out. I'll be marked by love. People will see love in me. Is that who we are? It can be. More and more it can be. If we're followers of Jesus, Holy Spirit, come and remind us of who we really are. Help us to live out of our true identity, beloved children of the King. Help us to live out of that overflowing with love. Okay, next. One more benefit. We're going to look at verse 5. Remember that God satisfies our desires with good things. Now, doesn't that sound good? I'll tell you, I want that. How does that work? Well, first of all, let's start with our desires, right? Us humans, we got powerful desires deep down inside. We do. We got desires for love and intimacy, for joy and excitement, for peace and security, for meaning and purpose and freedom. We've got all these lots of powerful, strong desires in us. And God, he doesn't condemn those desires. Let's be clear. How could he? He put them in us. He made us with those desires. He created them in us, and he wants to satisfy them. That is how great his love is. In fact, just think about what that would actually feel like to have our deepest desires satisfied. To be completely content, full. You can see David got a taste of it, and it made him feel young again. It made him feel full of life. Why don't we all feel like that? Because we don't remember. We forget. Maybe we know in our heads, right, that God satisfies our desires. But we don't act. We don't live like that. No, instead of going to him to satisfy our desires, we go to lots of other things. I mean, let's just take love for an example. We have this deep need for real love. and we are surrounded by counterfeits. You know, maybe we're mad about getting a boyfriend, a girlfriend. You know, we're boy crazy, girl crazy. And, you know, we think we'll never be happy. We need to have that. You know, all our girlfriends have boyfriends. We need one too. Or maybe it's that all our friends, they're all coupling up, right? They're all getting engaged. And we're starting to think, I'm never going to be satisfied. I'm never going to be content until I find that one person to share my life with. But that's not true. You know, romantic love, marriage, they are good gifts from God, but not everybody gets them. And you know what? They actually can't meet that deep need for real love that we are after. Only God can. See, if we're like habitually falling into bed on the first and second date, if we've been married, you know, 3, 4, 5 times, that's not just because we made a bunch of bad decisions, dumb choices. The real problem there, the root problem, is we're going to counterfeit love for something that only God can give us. We have forgotten that God satisfies our desires. Let's get really honest with ourselves. Where are we doing this in our lives? Where do we forget that God satisfies our desires? I mean, are we actually going to God to satisfy that deep need that we have for intimacy and love? Or are we going to broken relationships, to sex and porn? Are we going to God for peace and security? Or are we going to money and power and having the perfect family? Are we going to Him for meaning and purpose? Or are we going to our careers or, you know, our causes or, I don't know, positive feedback on social media? Are we going to Him for excitement in our life, to capture our minds and our emotions? Or are we just going to our screens? Where does our behavior need to change to reflect the truth? Remember that God satisfies our deepest desires. Only He can. And I'll tell you, it's hard to turn away from those counterfeits. Because, you know, they give you a taste. They give you like just a little shadow of what we're after, those deep desires. I mean, it's hard to break our addiction to our counterfeits. Yet God's love can do that. All we need to do is get up and turn and go towards Him. I mean, God will come running out with His love for us. Will we go? Will we get up and go to His love? All right, so forgiveness, healing, redemption, adoption, satisfaction. Wow, God's love. I mean, it is, I mean, you can see the greatness of God's love in His rescue mission. It is huge. How great is God's love? It is ginormous for us. It is huge. Yet knowing that, just having that in our heads, not good enough. Let's let the benefits of God's love go deep in us. Let's let them control our behavior. Let's experience, let's live it and feel it and know it deeply in our lives. I tell you what, let's press into doing that right now. Why don't you stand up with me and we'll move into ministry time. We'll ask for God's help with this. So God, I welcome You here even more. Holy Spirit, we do need Your help to experience Your love. And God, I know that we're all at different places when it comes to knowing, to remembering Your love. We all have different things that are standing in the way of connecting with You. And so, God, I ask just right now, shine Your bright light on whatever that is in our particular lives. Where are we getting stuck? We all need to experience more of Your love. Show us what's standing in the way, what we have forgotten that You want to remind us of right now. God, I know for some of us it is the guilt. We can't forgive ourselves. We got pride standing in the way. God, help us right now to humble ourselves and let the truth of Your forgiveness control us. God, for some of us, it's, you know, how could a God love me when this world is so messed up, when my life is so messed up, when I hurt so bad? God, give us the courage to reach out right now and grab hold of Your hand and see that You have overcome this world. your love is powerful enough to get us through that, to heal us. God, some of us, we don't even really even have a relationship with you. We're not followers of Jesus because we've never let you pay the price, the debt for us. Or we have this mess of a relationship because we're trying to pay some of it. And we're like, oh, you can pay some, I'll pay some. That never will work, God. If that's where we're at, give us the strength to get on our knees and say, I give up on myself, Jesus. You can pay the price for me. I actually want your love. It is too good to be true, and I accept it. God, I know there's plenty of us that struggle with our identity in you, that we're children of God. We struggle living out of that place. God, I pray that you just tenderly call us in. You show us the truth of our identity, the love you want to pour into us, the love you want to see pour out of us. And then so many of us in our lives, I know it happens to me too, God, we get distracted by the counterfeits. The devil loves to throw those things out there. Oh, this will satisfy you. Oh, God, today let us turn from those things. Let us say no to whatever it is, the drugs, the porn, the doing good things, whatever it is, our causes. And let us go to you to satisfy our desires. Those things can be good things, but we need you most of all. God, help us go to you. God, for some of us, that we'll have multiple things that are stopping. Just come to that place, whatever that place is that you are highlighting right now in our lives. Push away the things that are getting away from in the way of your love, and help us to receive that love now, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, come. You know, I'd like to invite the ministry team to come forward, and these are some folks that are trained that would love to pray for you. You know, if you could use some more of God's love, and by the way, that's all of us, I'd love to invite you to come up and let someone pray for you. It is a terrific way to connect with God's love in your life. If you see one of these areas that you're getting stuck in, or maybe you don't know why haven't I experienced more of God's love? We'd love to pray for you. Or maybe you just want to celebrate the things that God's been doing in your life, the way that he's been loving you. We'd love to pray for that too. This is where it takes a risk, right? You actually have to step out and go beyond this being something you know in your head to something you want to experience. Come forward, let someone pray for you. Actually, if there's anything you need prayer for in your life, if you need physical healing, you're struggling in a relationship or financially, we'd love to pray for you. They're going to lead us in some more worship, and I would just encourage you to slow down. Take some time to hear what else God has to say to you. Let God talk to you about how much he loves you. Thanks for coming to the Vineyard.